We are coming to you live tonight from the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles, California, on a special edition of Thursday Night Tailgate. Tonight, TNT alumni and Hall of Fame QB Warren Moon is being honored with the Unstoppable Award by the Unstoppable Foundation for the work he's doing bringing education to the villages of Africa. It's a wonderful event being hosted by singer Sean King, actor Malcolm Jamal Warner, and former Pro Bowl tight end Tony Gonzalez. We've got the red carpet, sports stars and entertainment stars galore, and Thursday Night Tailgate is bringing it to you all tonight. So get ready for a star-studded next 2 hours with your hosts, Chris Mascaro and Angelo Kane. Guys, take it away.
Hey, thank you, Joe Lajanusa. Good evening, everybody. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and we want to welcome you to a very special edition of Thursday Night Tailgate. Like Joe said, we're coming to you live tonight from the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza in Los Angeles at the Unstoppable Gala, where our good friend Warren Moon is being honored tonight as the Humanitarian of the Year for the great work he's doing helping to bring education to the villages of Africa. It's a real honor for us to be a part of this wonderful event, and we're very glad to have you along with us for the ride tonight. We have an absolute star-studded lineup in store for you. So like we always say every week, relax, settle in, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next couple of hours. TNT is brought to you by former Bengals and Falcons tight end Reggie Kelly and the great folks over at Kaivan Foods. Be sure to spice up everything on your menu by adding Kaivan's salsas, sauces, and spices to what you're cooking. Check them out online at Kaivan, and that's Kaivan, K-Y-V-A-N, the number 82.com, to see all of their great products. TNT is also sponsored by Dr. Peter Candelora and the wonderful folks over at Coastal Orthopedics. If you're living with joint pain, stop. Do what the gridiron greats do to get relief, and that's contact Coastal Orthopedics. You can find out more information about them online at bone-dr.com. We're also sponsored by the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory. If you love baseball and you haven't been, folks, you got to go. Find out more information about all the great things that you're going to see there by going to sluggermuseum.com. And we also want to give a shout-out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. They are doing fantastic things to help take care of the guys who played long before there was any such thing as six-figure salaries or even health care coverage. You can find out more information about them by going to gridirongreats.org. So who do we have here tonight besides, of course, the guest of honor, Warren Moon? Well, how about our friend and best-selling author and Sports One Marketing CEO, David Meltzer, is going to be along to join us like he is every single week here on TNT. Former Pro Bowl tight end Tony Gonzalez is one of tonight's event's co-chairs. We hope to have some time with Tony later tonight. He is joined by Malcolm Jamal Warner and entertainer Sean King, plus NFL legends. We got Nick Ferguson, Pete Shaw, Byron Chamberlain, Jim Trotter, Chris Hale, Mike Haynes, our good friend Vency Glenn is going to be along with us tonight. U.S. Olympic Alumni Association President John Neighbor, and so many more. We got Bob Guinea going to be right here with us in just a moment. So we got some great guests in store for you tonight. It's going to be a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. We got the red carpet. We've got some great guests, and above and beyond, we've got you to take with us the rest of the night. Plus, I got my traveling co-host, Mr. Angelo Kane, back with me on the road. Ange?
On special assignment.
There you go.
All the way from the East Coast, like all of us are, actually.
Exactly right. Like we said back in January, that was the first time we had actually done the show together. We did it the first time at Warren Moon's Hall of Fame reception in Scottsdale, Arizona in late January. That was the first time Ange and I had ever done the show in the same room together. You know, we had been together on the show 3 years. First time. As always, I was in Atlanta. He was down in Orlando. Now, this is the second time in a couple of months we're actually looking at each other during the show, which seems sort of odd. You know, I don't know. Feel better this time?
No, it doesn't feel any. You know why I don't feel any better?
Why?
Because I got to deal with sitting here with you, but we also have brought somebody else along.
That's right. For the first time ever, we have our social media director and business partner, and above all, good friend, Renee Schull, who is here talking. You hear, you see her actually doing a lot of our social media work doing the show. She tweets out from the TNT podcast site. Now she's here. So we have Kalamazoo, Michigan, Orlando, Florida, and Atlanta, Georgia, now all in the same room for the very first time. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you, and it's the first time we all get to see each other ever in 3 years together.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know. And I tell you, my friend, we got some free agent conversation that we're going to need to get to tonight because your boys, your Bills, with the Richie Incognito and the Percy Harvin, for crying out loud, there's something really crazy going on. There's going to be some rumbling going on in that locker room. I'm not sure what the over-under is before the first fight breaks out, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. You brought in Rex Ryan. You went from the lovable Bills to the Backstreet Brawlers.
Come on,
so we're
going to
need to spend some time talking about
that.
Show
a little
tonight.
Love. We're going to keep it exciting is what we're going to do.
Right. All right, folks, we want to kick off the show like we do every single week here by saluting our military personnel listening in on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We want to pass along our sincere thanks to all of our veterans and everyone currently serving in every branch of the military and public service. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices you either made or are making now, every day for every one of us. We can't say thank you enough for what you do to protect the freedoms we all have and the liberty which allows the rest of us to do what we do. Our sincere thanks as well to Sean Cruz and all the wonderful folks at the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's an honor that you have our show as a part of your network. You can find our show by going to armedforcesradionetwork.org. And also, be sure to give those guys a follow on Twitter. You can find them at the AFRN for the Armed Forces Radio Network. I also want to remind everyone that you can stream or download our show for free from our site, ThursdayNightTailgate.com, plus our friends over at Boost Radio. Stream our show every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to BoostRadioNetwork.com and click on the on-air link that you're going to find in the upper right-hand corner of their homepage to hear our show. You can also find us online at iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And you can take us with you everywhere you go on your mobile device if you download the Stitcher or the Player.fm app as well. So if someone's dragging you to the mall or to the grocery store, you're tired of the same old on your commute, hey, download us. Let us take your mind off everything, give you something fun to listen to while you're on your commute every day. All right, let's get rolling. We want to start with a message from our friends over at Kyven Foods, brought to you by our friend Reggie Kelly.
This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcon tight end. And I'm the owner of Kyven Foods. And if you enjoy delicious food, you're going to love my Kyven products, which consists of our honey apple salsa, sweet barbecue sauce, and an array of seasonings. For store locations, online orders, and recipes, check out our website at www.kyven82.com. That's KYVAN82.com. One taste, and you'll appreciate the goodness.
If you want your guests to be raving about your next house party, or the baseball season starting up, your tailgate party, whether you're at spring training or getting ready for opening day, be sure to serve them plenty of Kyven Foods, salsas, sauces, and spices to liven up everything you're going to put out on your spread. Be sure to check out their recipes. You can find it on our site, ThursdayNightTailgate.com, as well as their own site, Kyven82.com. And give them a like on Facebook. That's important to them, too. And Kyven is K-Y-V-A-N, the number 82.com. You're going to appreciate the goodness. All right, folks, we've got our first guest sitting here next to us on the Kyven Foods guest line. We've got Bob Guinea. You know Bob. Bob started out, he's a bachelor. He was at Michigan State. We are honored to have him with us as a part of the show tonight. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a Michigan guy, too, you know, so I heard someone from Kalamazoo.
Right there.
That's you?
Sure.
Okay.
I
grew up downriver Detroit and played at Michigan State, so, yeah, I'm a big Michigan fan.
Yeah, so talk about that. Played at Michigan State. What was that like?
Well, I walked on. I was a walk-on that earned a scholarship. Yeah, so I came out of high school and was recruited primarily by MAC schools. And then my uncle, who had played at Michigan State when they were the national champions, so I was born and bred going to Michigan State games, and I decided I could play at Michigan State, so I walked on and started traveling my freshman year and ended up staying all 4 years. So
as a walk-on, hard to do, right?
Yeah,
hard to make the team as a walk-on.
And it's not all like Rudy either. It's not like Rudy. Not at all.
There's no Hollywood ending.
I didn't get carried off on anybody's shoulders. You know, it's kind of ridiculous, but It was a great honor, and I'm glad I got to play there.
Yeah, so talk about that, though. I mean, to make the team as a walk-on, you had to impress somebody, right?
Yep.
You had to get somebody's eye. What did you do to catch their eye?
It was Morris Watts. Morris Watts was the offensive coordinator, and Norm Parker was our defensive coordinator. And I actually ended up working with Norm more, obviously, as a freshman coming in. I was on the scout team.
Yeah.
And so I was working with the defense more. And for whatever reason, Percy Snow, who at the time, I don't know if you remember Percy, but
absolutely.
Big time,
linebacker.
You know, Lombardi Award winner, and, you know, he just kind of took me under his wing. I don't know what it was. And so, you know, as a result of that, I ended up, you know, kind of getting to put in some drills and traveling and doing all the good stuff. And then Morris Watts, who was the offensive coordinator, he liked me. You know, he gave me some opportunities. And I didn't really, you know, I grew up as a fan of Warren Moons. I didn't get in at quarterback. But, you know, I got to play and got an opportunity to actually, you know, do some fun stuff. And I backed up Jim Miller.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, who went on to do a bunch of things.
I'm a Steeler fan.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Jim was
Miller.
A journeyman, man. He was,
yeah.
But he's a great player, and obviously he does a great radio show now, too. So,
right, yeah.
You know, a lot of mutual friends. We run into each other every now and again.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, over the time that you were at Michigan State, fondest memory?
You know, I would say for me, very first game as a freshman coming out of the stadium against Notre Dame.
Is that right?
You know,
first
growing
game?
Up, yeah, growing up, you know, I come out of the tunnel, and you know, you got Touchdown Jesus, and you got all this going on.
Yeah.
I'm jumping around, and this is back in the Lou Holtz era, so
yeah.
I'm on the field throwing a ball in front of Lou Holtz. I felt pretty good about myself. And then my uncle's best friend is Lloyd Carr, so I grew
all
up
right.
with the Michigan, you know. Flavor as well,
right.
And so when I was playing at Michigan State, and obviously we played against Michigan, he was a defensive coordinator at the time, not the head coach, but my girlfriend was also a cheerleader at U of M, so I would come out on the field, we'd get a picture with her and I and Uncle Lloyd, you know, so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
So what's the family rivalry, some Michigan State?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, in the state of Michigan, it's pretty simple. If you ever walked into a Walmart, you're a Michigan fan, and if you went to Michigan State and, you know, like winning Rose Bowls, then you're a Michigan State fan. That's how we do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we call them Walmart Wolverines there, you know. So I've had many an argument with people who, you know, in God bless them, you know, they didn't go to either one of those schools, but they sure have an opinion about, and you can have an opinion about the sports. When you start ripping on my education, we're going to talk. So, you know, yeah, I'm a Spartan through and through, and in my family, we have actually more Western Michigan Broncos than we do
right?
Michigan State Spartans, yeah. So it's a lot of fun, though. The holidays are never boring.
Oh, I bet. So, you know, as a kid that grew up there and, you know, rooting for Michigan State and that sort of thing, you put the uniform on first time home game.
Yep.
You know, and you're kind of walking through the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
What's going through? I mean, I
was all
chills.
Swollen up with pride, man.
Is that right?
I was feeling really good about myself that day.
Yeah.
Especially considering, you know, we had a really a real solid high school program, and our coach was known as the Dean of Michigan Coaches. He was Don Lesner, rest in peace. He's just a gentleman. And, you know, the inmates did not run the prison at Riverview High School, I can tell you that. And so, you know, when I went on to play at Michigan State, it was definitely an adjustment for me. We were under George Perlis. Perlis was a pretty loud and rowdy guy. And so it was a lot of fun for me to actually transition into that program and realize the similarities that I've been brought up with in our program. We were very disciplined. And, you know, Michigan State, we had a pretty disciplined program as well. So, but, yeah, coming out of that first game and looking at the sides, and there's my family, my
right.
grandparents.
So you had
you
the
know.
Hollywood moment right off.
I had a Hollywood
right
moment before
bat.
I ever made it to Hollywood.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that felt pretty good.
Exactly.
It felt really good, in fact. So real proud. And, you know, my grandfather played, he played semi-professional football as well. So it's kind of in my blood a little bit, and it was nice to make him proud, too.
Where's the jersey?
I have all my jerseys hanging up in a closet. I have Warren's jerseys on a trophy case.
Hanging out on the wall.
Yeah.
Yours are in the closet.
Mine are collected lint.
So talk about your uncle. You see, your uncle played there. Talk about him.
Yeah, my uncle Big Red. His name Andy Sandifer, he was all American. I mean, he was a crazy great player back in the day.
Yeah.
This is back in the '60s, and he went on to play at Michigan State as a running back. And oddly enough, I mean, his career took a weird path. He ended up being an offensive lineman.
Really?
Yeah. And but then, you know, I mean, he and my aunt got married, and you know, had beautiful children, beautiful family, and but he just always carried that, you know, that pride. And one of the things I loved about him, before he passed away, we used to always talk about it. But he would always say, you know what, buddy, someday we're both going to be all Americans. That's the beauty of time. You know, and so,
yeah,
you know,
nice.
20-some years later, I look back on it, I could start reinventing some history. I don't know who'd correct me on that, but I've held pretty true to form so far, you know.
So, Bob, everyone now knows your name from the time on The Bachelor and then on The Bachelor. How did you get down that path? Where did that get you?
Well, I started off right at Michigan State. I was a musician, and I got very lucky. there was bands called the Verb Pipe that came from our hometown. They had this song, The Freshman.
Yeah.
We toured with them, and I signed a record deal when I was 23 years old. So
Right
after college, you know, my parents were really proud of me taking that college degree and basically stapling it in the van. And that was my full-time gig, cruising around the country. But it was amazing experience. I was in entertainment and often on different major labels over the course of those 10 years. And by the time I was early 30s, I had bought a mortgage company, and this was right before 9/11, actually. And the assistants at my mortgage company submitted my information without me knowing it to the people at The Bachelor.
Wow.
And then, of course, 9/11 happened and the refi boom, and so we had this really successful business. And it just seemed like, why not? Something fun to do. And
So
I went on first on The Bachelorette and then The Bachelor after that. And they made, Oprah thought I was funny, made me her man in the street, and next thing you know, I was The Bachelor. And from there, I worked for The View. I worked for Today Show now. And, you know, it's just been a nice succession.
Opened all kinds of doors.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I was handing out flowers and eating and drinking way too much, and it ended up kind of putting me in the lexicon of some fun stuff. So
has that carried on now? I mean, like, here you are, like, I don't even remember how long the show's been on.
It was 11 years ago that I was The Bachelor.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're still walking down the street, and it's the whole rose thing.
Yeah.
And people are...
Everyone gets really creative. Like, you know, they'll say, can we get a picture with you? And I say, sure. And she'll go, I bet no one's ever done this. And she'll grab a rose. I'm like, yeah, it never happened.
Yeah, that never happened.
About 20 times a day, but that's okay.
Exactly.
But, you know, I got really fortunate. You know, I think because of the whole Oprah connection and then as a result of you and then now the Today Show, they've always given me platforms and allowed me just to be myself and have some fun and make fun of me, which I love to do, and I'm incredibly great at it. And, you know, and as a result, you know, I think it's just been one of those things that snowballed over the years and has allowed me to stay out there, you know. And I love renovating homes. I got a couple home renovation shows that went on for HGTV and TLC, and I just kept getting lucky. So I'd rather be lucky than good at this point, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bob, you wrote a book, What a Difference a Year Makes, How Life's Unexpected Setbacks Can Lead to Unexpected Joy. Talk about
that. Very true. Yeah, so back to the Oprah connection. I was actually, it's probably my fifth or sixth time on the Oprah show at this point, and just having a really fun day, and got in on the plane to come back, got upgraded. I'm like, this day can't get any better. And happened to be sitting next to a woman who was in the audience at the Oprah show that day, and she said, oh, it's just, I just think you have the most perfect life. And I said, well, it's amazing what a difference a year makes. I said, you know, a year ago, I said I had reconstructive knee surgery, Achilles surgery. I gained 30 pounds, and I got a sticky note telling me I was getting divorced. And this was before it happened on Sex and the City, by the way. And I said, so, yeah, it's kind of crazy what a difference a year makes.
Oh,
and she said, that should be the title of your book. And I said, yeah, you know, someday I'll write a book, and that's what I'll call it. She said, well, I'm the editor at Tartar Penguin Publishing.
Wow.
And that's how it happened.
Dude, you are absolutely the luckiest person
on
the planet.
It's crazy. At the time, my brother-in-law used to say I could step in a pile of dog poo, and I'd peel off a $100 bill. You know, I'm like, yeah, things are going well right now. I can't lie. But so I wrote the book, and it really was, you know, it was a tribute to my family, my uncle, my grandfather, people who, you know, influenced me. And you know, like I said, one of the biggest character building moments I had in my life, obviously, was walking out at Michigan State. I wanted to prove I could do it, and I did it, and I was proud of myself for that. I didn't go to the levels of a Warren Moon, you know, but, you know, I think in doing so, I just had such a great opportunity from it, and it was a character building opportunity, and that's what the book was all about, was getting through tough times and realizing that things can get better, you know. And a great book I just read, my buddy Dave Meltzer, Connected to Goodness. I mean, it was not nearly as philosophical as Dave's book, but it was, in a way for me, it was very cathartic. And, you know, reading Dave's book actually did a lot of that for me, too, getting to kind of get in touch with, you know, the fact that if you put good out there, you get good coming back. And
right.
So, yeah, so it's been a real fun experience. I got lucky a lot.
So what's next?
Right now, I just did a pilot for the History Channel. I'm excited about.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. You know, that's the beauty of television. You can do 100 pilots, like, you know, nothing ever happens, and then all of a sudden you're George Clooney. I'm not saying that's happening to me.
Throwing stuff against the wall.
Yeah, see what sticks, right? I'm not saying I'm Clooney. Don't get me wrong. That's not misquote me on this. But yeah, doing another pilot, in talks with the Travel Channel for another show as well, and still doing the Today Show.
Right.
And then I've always kind of kept my foot in the world of finance as well, and so I just actually relocated to Seattle. And now I'm working out of Seattle, which has been nice to get to hang with Warren out there.
Yeah.
Doing some work out there as well, so it's been a lot of fun.
So now we come to tonight. What brought you out to the Unstoppable Gala tonight?
Warren Moon. Warren's become one of my best friends over the last 11, 12 years now. We met at the Kentucky Derby several years ago and became really good
another
buddies.
Another chance meeting.
Yeah, honestly, it really was. We got sat at the same table. And I was just like, Warren Moon? Hey, man. And I just assumed he had to know me. And,
right, of course.
Thankfully, he did. He's like, hey, I watched your show.
Did he give you a rose?
He did not, thankfully.
There you go.
No, he did not give me a rose. He gave me tulips. Tulips and hydrangeas. You know,
and did you win? That's the most
important. Yeah, right.
At the Derby, I did.
You did?
Yeah,
did you
did.
Really?
I did.
He's unbelievable.
I did. Not big. But I walked
I'm standing
out
next to this guy the rest of the night.
I know, yeah, exactly. Right? Where are we going tonight after this? Let's wind this up. We got stuff to do out there.
I came out last week. I went to an event that Warren put on at a small restaurant in Seattle, and I had known about this event. I have an event we're doing tonight as well with a band I play called Band from TV. We give all the proceeds to charity, and I found out that they were conflicting times, and I just told Warren, I said, well, I'm going to come over and show my respects and you know, definitely, you know, support you, and then I got to disappear when dinner starts. So
exactly.
So I'm here for the fun stuff, and then I got to run across town, and we're performing across town for a special needs baseball team.
Cool.
For a group
wow.
of kids from Calabasas who buy them equipment and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this was something that had been in the books for a long time, too. So I was just glad that I could make it work to kind of bebop around and be here. But, yeah, I think what Warren's done is amazing. You know, a lot of people can rest on their laurels when they've had that kind of success and can just kind of sit back and, you know, count the mailbox money. And thankfully for someone, you know, for all of us, Warren's never been that guy. You know, he's the one who puts himself out there, and he's very charitable, but he also puts his money where his mouth is. And so he shows up. He doesn't just cut a check. He actually shows
up and
helps and participates. And Sports One Marketing, the company that he and Dave Meltzer started, they're always involved in that kind of stuff. And as a result of them being two of my best friends, I happen to be involved in it too. So
That's awesome.
Really fortunate for the opportunity and for the connection.
That's fantastic. Bob, thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your night to be a part of the show.
Guys.
You're fantastic. We hope you'll join us again sometime.
I'd love to, man. Thank you. And I want to thank all of our veterans too. My father served, and you know, I'm a huge proponent of our armed forces, so thank you very much for protecting us, like you guys said, so we can sit in our backyards and relax while everyone's watching our backs for us. So
that's fantastic.
God bless
Bob,
the troops.
All the best. Good luck. And
thanks,
hopefully we get to catch up with you again real soon.
Thank you, man. Pleasure meeting you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you
Bob
so much.
Guinney, right here. All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. We've got Dave Meltzer about to sit down and join us. We'll get to him on the other side of this station identification.
This is Christine Lisi, and you're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL stars go to tell their stories with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
All right, now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is our really great friend. You hear him every single week here on Thursday Night Tailgate, Dave Meltzer. Dave, you know, is the author of the best-selling book, Connected to Goodness. You know him as the CEO from Sports One Marketing. And we are so thrilled to be a part of this event with Dave tonight and have him sitting right here next to us. Dave, how are you tonight, my friend?
Oh, I'm great. Hey, was that Matt Leiner?
He had the hair, right?
Oh, we go out all the time with Bob, and people just, they look at him and go, how do I know you? And Matt Leiner.
So, Dave, remind our listeners tonight what the event is all about and why we're all here.
So we're here, number one, to honor my best friend and partner, Warren Moon, for the Humanitarian of the Year Award for the Unstoppable Foundation. Last year's award winner, to give you the significance of the award, was the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Malula. And Warren's the first athlete ever to win this award, and I just am so proud of him. I just think it's indicative of the success that he has in his life and the fulfillment and purpose, you know, that I write about.
Right.
It's about Warren Moon and guys like Warren Moon that walk the walk and they talk the talk.
How did you guys first get connected with the Unstoppable Foundation?
Cynthia Kersey, the foundation director, reached out to me and asked for some help. And they were actually looking at Lee Steinberg, to maybe be an MC. And then they had brought up the fact that they thought Warren Moon would be a great recipient of the honor, and if I could send over some information about Warren, and they made him a finalist, and then they decided on him. And then, ironically, we ended up with Tony Gonzalez as the MC, and Lee's here, though. I just saw him outside.
Is that right?
And hopefully he'll be coming back to see you. So,
very nice.
But we are everyone here, and we're really excited to be here to help build villages in Africa to educate children all around the world.
You know, and to your point, Dave, you know, back in late January, we joined you guys at another event, you know, out in Scottsdale prior to the Pro Bowl, Warren's Hall of Fame reception, right? And the proceeds that night went to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, right?
Correct.
Warren also does some things for the Children's Hospital up in Seattle. He's got his own Crescent Moon Foundation that he does stuff for. Now he's here with the Unstoppable Foundation. So many great things that, you know, both Warren and you are involved with. You know, I think that's something that, you know, people need to hear about more is that, you know, to Bob's point, Warren walks the walk, but he walks the walk in a lot of different places. It's not just one charity. He's doing so much for so many different charities.
You know, it's so true, and we sit on the boards of these foundations. You know, I'm the director of Warren's, the chairman of his foundation.
Right.
Warren sits on the national board for St. Jude. I sit on the board of the Unstoppable now. I mean, we go to the meetings. We not only show up at the events, we actually go to these meetings and help make critical decisions to help these people. And so we don't go halfway in Sports One Marketing. It's all the way. Give me 100% or no percent. That's what we always say.
Yeah. And to your point, right, you guys do so many great things. And one of the things that, you know, that impresses me a lot is just how far out of your way you guys go to help other people, right? You know, you've got your mantra and you know, making sure that, you know, you have a lot of fun, you make a lot of money, but you help a lot of people, right? And talk about sort of the culture at Sports One Marketing and the belief that you and Warren have, why that's so important.
You know, it's funny because my mom's standing over here to the right.
Is that right?
And, that's where that culture...
Hey, Mrs. Meltzer.
That's where the culture started for me. And, you know, Warren and I both were raised by single moms. And that culture of understanding we may not have everything that all the other kids had, but we had the empowerment of gratitude and empathy and the empowerment to give to other people and to serve. My mom was a teacher for 47 years. I think, you know, raising six kids on $17,000 was close to a miracle. And, you know, I am the low end of the gene pool. My siblings, some are here. They all went to the Ivy League, full scholarship. You know, she was empowering us with education and kindness. And I think Warren's mom, who I've spent some time with as well, has done the same thing for him and his six siblings. So we both had similar backgrounds, and we take it seriously. You know, we do like to have a lot of fun, and we want to make a lot of money. We have so that we can help more people. I believe, as you know, you can't give what you don't have. So I need to create abundance in order to share it.
Right. So talk about some of the other things that you're personally involved with, right? Your book, Connected to Goodness, fantastic, right? Started out as a top 10 bestseller, now, you know, a number one bestseller.
Yeah.
Talk about that and, you know, some of the other things you're working on.
So, you know, I'm building a platform called the Meltzer Mission, and we're launching it April 1st. It'll be MeltzerMission.com, and we have a 30-day challenge that we give. It took off at the Secret Knock, which is a Forbes top five business meeting in America, and I was blessed to be a keynote speaker packed between Jack Canfield and Master Shaw. But it was an amazing experience, and I challenged the 300 people in the audience to say thank you before they go to bed and thank you when they wake up. And I told them, if you do this 30 days in a row, it becomes part of your subconscious and part of you, and that gratitude will bring everything you desire, and it's the easiest way to change your life. And by the time I got home, it went viral. And so all of our PR staff, Sports One, Warren, all decided that we're going to get behind this Meltzer Mission to create gratitude and empathy around the country within sports and on the sidelines by saying thank you before we go to bed and before we wake up. And once again, as my mom looks over my shoulder, it's something that she instilled in us to make sure that we were always grateful before we went to bed. And if we got out of bed with the wrong attitude, she said, step back into bed.
So you get it right. Good for her. Well, we know you got to run, but I did want to just touch on a little football before you go. It's free agent season. It's been a madhouse. Do you miss those days at all? Do you get the adrenaline going when you see all this happening?
You know, I do and I don't. I mean, there is a lot of work and a lot of competition that goes along with that, and I just feel sorry for the Jets.
Well, not this year, right? They're making they're money.
We'll see. They're spending money, but we're all in the wrong places.
So aside from the Jets, is there one move or team that really just stuck out?
Yeah, I think Kelly and the Eagles, I think they've done a really, really nice job of solidifying the talent with the system that's in place. And watch what they do in the draft. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and don't be surprised if Mariota ends up in Philadelphia. Oh, do not be surprised.
So it's going to be a college team playing in the pros.
Exactly. And let's see how they do. Let's see. Oh, you know, that University of Miami could have played in the pros back
then. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But they didn't want to take the pay cut.
Right.
Exactly.
Nice. Wow. So, but to build on that, Dave, Chip Kelly, is this, you know, we hear so many times, he's either a genius or he's an idiot. And we're going to find out about, you know, what, 9 months from now, right, at the end of next season. Is this a limb you would go out on if it were you?
I would. I would. You know what? You've got to be yourself. I'd rather be hated for who I am than liked for who I'm not. And he is a genius. You know, what he did up at Oregon and create that dynasty with a system that is obviously a successful system.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why success doesn't carry on. I know it hasn't always for all college coaches, but he is a very unique, focused, clear, balanced coach, and he gets his players to be motivated, and you guys both know that I believe in the 12th man, and he inspires his team, and he inspires those fans, and anything can happen if you have an inspired team with a great system and inspired fans. So
yeah, there's no doubt about
that. I'm a
that.
Big now, fan of his.
Now, you talk about inspired fans or cursed fans. But, you know, Dave, one of the other things, if you're Ray Farmer and you're the GM of the Cleveland Browns, when you look over his situation now, you got Johnny Manziel, who didn't exactly set the world on fire last year and is currently still in rehab, right? You know, your other best player over the last few seasons is Josh Gordon, and now he's, you know, out of the league at least for 1 year, maybe for good, right? And you replace those guys with Josh McCown, Brian Hartline, and Dwayne Bowe, who didn't score a touchdown last season. How, you know, and you're a marketing guy now. How are you marketing the Cleveland Browns to your fan base this year?
Sympathy. You know, I think they go with Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons out at the L.A. Kiss Arena Football and just make it a show. Because that's where Johnny Manziel fit in, you know, with girls dancing
in
the shade.
And
I was born in Akron, Ohio. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, and I think sympathy is the only thing that's going to attract me there. There's some beautiful women and motorcycles and cages. Someone's better be looking for a new job next year.
Indeed. All right, Dave, we know you got to run, you know, one more time. Tell folks how they can follow you on social media, your book Connected to Goodness, where they can get a copy of that, and where you're going to be speaking.
Sure. So we have at @dmeltzer, follow me there, and connectedtogoodness.com. You can buy my book on Amazon. It's the best place to get it. We are very close to number one bestseller thanks to
shows like
this and you two and all the great support you've given me. I'll be speaking at the Masters at the Sanctuary, and I'll see Chris down there as well. We have the Wheels Up Party and working for the Crescent Moon Foundation, another great cause. But we'll be down at the Masters suffering there in that unbelievable place of Augusta National.
Oh, it's a horrible place.
We, you know, obviously sports1.com, and then April 1st, MeltzerMission.com.
That's right.
We're loaded, but I really appreciate you guys being here, and it's just going to add to the festivities and the support we give Warren tonight.
Thank you.
We're
honored to be a part of it. Thanks for asking us to be here. It's always so much fun. We're going to have a blast tonight. Thanks for stopping by, and, you know, maybe if we get lucky, we can get some time with you later tonight if you're around. But if not, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Dave. We'll catch up soon. David Meltzer. You can, again, follow him online. You can see him at @dmeltzer. His book, Connected to Goodness, is fantastic. It's something you're going to refer back to time and time again over the rest of your life. It's a wonderful read. All right, we've got our next guest, you know, hanging here with us now on the Kyven Foods guest line is Byron Chamberlain. Let me remind you about Byron's background. He's from Honolulu, Hawaii. Played his college ball at the University of Missouri and then at Wayne State College. He was a seventh-round draft pick in 1995 by the Denver Broncos. Played in the NFL from 1995 to 2003 with the Broncos, Vikings, and Redskins. Named to the Pro Bowl in 2001. Byron, thanks for joining us tonight. What brings you here?
You left out one thing.
What did I leave out?
My back-to-back Super Bowl.
Absolutely right. The new ring.
How do you leave that out?
I got that. I just didn't need you. You're right. Call me out. You're right.
No, hey, we had to send John Elway out on a high note. So.
Yeah, I want to talk about that here in a minute. But, you know, Byron, you're here tonight at the Unstoppable Gala. What brought you out to this event?
Mr. Warren Moon. You know, competing against that guy. He's a great player and a good friend. And Warren's always doing some great things. He's you know, hooked up with this Unstoppable Foundation, who's doing some wonderful things with education in Africa. So I wanted to come out and support him, number one.
Yeah.
But also have a good time tonight.
There you go. So, you know, Byron, before we get into, you know, your time, you know, on the field, you have your own foundation to help underprivileged kids. Talk about your foundation and some of the things you're working on.
We have the Byron Chamberlain Foundation, and you know, some of the things that we've done with that is we partner with other foundations and other corporations to do good things to help kids. We partnered with Souls for Souls, sent over 150,000 pairs of shoes to kids in Africa, and some of these kids, the look on their face when they got their first pair of shoes was priceless.
Amazing.
I bet. You know, you'd see a kid who was 12, 13 years old, and he never owned a pair of shoes, something that we take for granted, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, doing things like that and We have a broad mission statement, but that just gives us the ability to partner with other people who are doing good things. And you know, we partner with the Magic Johnson Foundation, raising money for HIV and AIDS awareness. So it just gives me a platform to give back.
Yeah. So tell our listeners here on the Armed Forces Radio Network and iHeartRadio and places all across the internet how our listeners can get more information about that foundation and get involved if they want.
Well, to get more information, just follow me on Twitter. That's the best way.
Is that right?
BC underscore Chamberlain, C-H-A-M-B-E-R-L-A-I-N. Follow me on Twitter, and I can. And if you follow me, I'll direct you to information for the Byron Chamberlain Foundation and also for my company, which is called Pro Day Experience. And what we're doing with that is we are committed to bringing American football internationally across the globe.
There you go.
We took 7 trips to China last year.
Wow.
Introducing the Chinese to American football. And let me tell you why that's important. China is a society over there where they can only have one child per family. So you get these very spoiled kids. They get mom and dad loving on them. They get both sets of grandparents loving on them. And they're the only ones. Well, the game of football is introducing, we want to introduce teamwork and working together. And that's a concept that's kind of foreign to the young kids over there because they're so spoiled. They don't have to. They get anything they want. So American football is a game where you have to work together. You can't do your own thing to succeed. So, and they've taken to it. They loved it. And like I said, we made 7 trips over there to 7 different schools and teaching kids American football. We also went to Sweden. We went to Egypt. We went to the U.K. We were planning on going this summer to Brazil. We're working on Germany, Italy, Norway. So we're just spreading the gospel
worldwide
of American football,
which
to me is the greatest game in the world.
There you go. So, Brian, when I look back, you know, over your history, right, you played football, baseball, and track in high school, right? So many parents these days talk about one child. They have their children that focus on one sport, right? Kids play baseball, they travel baseball, they play baseball year-round, that sort of thing. Did playing 3 sports make a difference to you in how you were able to perform in football?
You know, the other sport I played that is not on there was I played golf as well.
Golf.
Yeah, golf, and I played a little bit of tennis. But you know what? The thing about it was when I decided when I was in college that I was just going to focus on football, I had a wealth of information, a wealth of knowledge, and a wealth of skills that I learned from all these other sports that I could take and I could apply it to the game of football, the eye-hand coordination with baseball, the lateral footwork with basketball, the speed with track, the speed and endurance. So all these skills that I learned in these other sports, I got to take them and apply them, and it made me a better football player. So I'm a proponent of play it all. Play every sport you can.
There you go. So here, let me get to your back-to-back Super Bowls. Here's something that I'm always curious about, just from, you know, you guys as pro athletes, people are always trying to get their hands in your pockets and all that sort of thing. You win the AFC Championship for the first time. You celebrate and you get back to the locker room. How long did it take before the phone started ringing, people looking for Super Bowl
tickets? Well, here's the thing. When we did that, I grew up, I was born in Hawaii, and my dad was in the Navy. So I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
And so, you know, the Super Bowl that year was in San Diego. So I had people coming out of the woodwork, people that I went to John F. Kennedy Elementary School with coming out.
Good long people play, Byron.
People I went to St. Rita's with, you know, from when I was in preschool, coming, hey, Byron. So what I did was I took my tickets and I selected 7 people, and they were all, you know, my mother, my father, my brother, you know, my grandfather who introduced me to the game of football, and just 7 my sisters, and those were the lucky 7 that got the golden ticket. So,
and then there were a bunch of sad people out on the side.
You know, but you know what I did for my cousins and those people was I rented a hotel suite, and they
threw them
a Super Bowl, their own little Super Bowl party, catered, and they had a
nice,
you know, great time. So.
Very nice. There you go.
There was only 7 lucky tickets, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the golden ticket.
So in your first Super Bowl, after you guys manhandled the Jaguars in the wild card game, you had to go on the road against Kansas City at Arrowhead, go to Chris's Steelers at Three Rivers, and then you had to face Favre and the Packers in the Super Bowl. That's three tough games in a row. Then the following season, you had home field throughout the playoff and had an easier time eliminating the Dolphins, Jets, and beating the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Did it feel easier? Because everyone says that teams come at you harder when you're the champion.
Yeah, that second Super Bowl was definitely harder. When you're chasing the crown versus defending the crown,
right,
is the key in that. And when you're defending it, man, you're going to play. I think that year we played the Cincinnati Bengals, and they came and played us tough. And they were the worst team in the league, you know. But we'd look and we'd be like, wow, these guys didn't look like this on film, you know. But when you're the champ, you're going to get everybody's best shot. But, you know, one of the things is we had great locker room leadership. I remember Shannon Sharp standing up in front of our team shortly after we had won our first Super Bowl. And he said, you know, winning a Super Bowl is great, but you're not special unless you win multiple Super Bowls. If you can go and win it back-to-back, then you become special. You know, anybody can do one in a row. It was his saying. But you start to become special when you can go back to back. And let me tell you about your Steelers.
Here we go.
That game was tough. Well, right before the game, I lost my grandmother.
Oh my!
And the other thing about that game was their quarterback Cordell Stewart, who I'd known from since college days back in when I was at Missouri and he was at Colorado, and we share a birthday. But Cordell is my mother's favorite player.
Really?
So my mother is sitting there. I'm serious. My mother loves Cordell Stewart, and she was sitting there. I'm like, Mom, who are you really rooting for? She's like, well, I wouldn't be mad if Cordell goes to the Super Bowl now.
Oh.
Come on, Mom, you're hurting me.
Right.
But we went into Pittsburgh, Three Rivers, and we got it done, and we went back-to-back. So that is something that, you know, you cherish for a lifetime.
Right. So, speaking of leadership, I saw a video online where you were comparing the great leadership of your quarterback, John Elway, and current quarterback of the Broncos, the great Peyton Manning. If you could give each one a trait from the other, what would you do?
What a question.
Hey, man, I'm digging deep,
That's a great question. For John, from Peyton, what I would give John is something that he really didn't have the ability to, is the ability to come up to the line with multiple plays and multiple schemes. Back then, we'd have a play and we may have one audible to go with it, or maybe two audibles to go with it. Peyton comes to the way Peyton Manning operates is he comes to the line and he has about six plays that he can choose from based on the defense or how they're going to line up, where's the blitz coming from. And he's got about six different plays on each play that he can go to. I think it makes him so tough to defend because he's always going to put himself in the right play. He's always going to put his teammates in the right position to succeed.
Yeah.
One of the things that that I would give from John to Peyton is I'm not saying he's not tough. But John probably was the toughest, physically, mentally tough guy I've ever seen in my life. And John would sit there, and he'd take shots, and he'd be knocked out, unconscious, and he'd get him, shake himself off. But he was always there. He was always there. And he was just so physically, but not so physically, but mentally tough.
Yeah.
That mental toughness, I think, was his edge that he had over most guys. Just that ability to bounce back, to keep going. Even in the tough loss, he had three tough Super Bowl losses. We had the loss to Jacksonville the year before we won our back-to-back Super Bowls. And that's enough to drive a guy his batty. You know, I remember John saying, when we got to Super Bowl 32, that he got a call from his mom, and his mom was like, "Do we really have to go back to the Super Bowl?" She was thinking about those first three Super Bowls, but just mentally and physically tough, man, the best.
And you mentioned earlier Shannon Sharp, one of the great characters of the game. What was it like day in and day out with that guy?
Man, Shannon is he's a traveling circus, actually. I mean, if you want a barrel full of laughs, you know, hang out with Shannon Sharpe. But I'm going to tell you this, too, and this is what most people don't know about Shannon Sharpe. He's that character. He's going to be on the field talking smack, but he is the hardest working guy. The thing I give Shannon credit for is he really taught me how to be a professional football player and how to be a professional tight end. And when I remember when I made the Pro Bowl, he's one of the first persons that I called and just to tell him thank you, because I really was a sponge and sat under him and learned everything that I could about the tight end position, about being a professional in the NFL. I remember I used to think I was doing something big, like I would take back then it was they put it put the games on DVDs, so you take the DVDs home. Now they load them up on your iPad, but but I think I'm taking a DVD home because I'm going to do some extra studying at home. With Shannon sitting there loading me up with four or five DVDs, like, no, one is not enough. You got to know your opponent. She says you got to know your opponent better than he knows himself. So that was one of the things that I took from him, and I really learned and I appreciated from him.
I'm from Buffalo.
Okay.
And I read that Andre Reed is a pretty good friend of yours.
Great friend of mine.
And, you know, it was awesome to finally see him make the Hall of Fame last year. I just wondered if you talked to him afterwards and how he was feeling.
We were there. Me and my wife definitely were not going to miss that for the world. And when he got his gold jacket, we were front and center, man, taking selfies with him. I mean, the minute after he got it. So it was, I mean, Andre had been so deserving for years.
Right.
And it's a shame that he had to wait as long as he did. But you talk about a guy who is so grateful to be in that Hall of Fame, to be with those caliber players, and a guy that deserved it. He was so tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people knocked him and the Buffalo Bills for losing four Super Bowls. But my thing is to win the AFC four times in a row and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl four times. I mean, who does that? That's incredible.
Right.
That's incredible accomplishment. So I was happy for him. I was proud of him. Going to be out. We're gonna have another celebration in July when he has his foundation has a golf tournament out in Allentown, Pennsylvania, his hometown. So I'm excited to see what that's about, because I know he got the park that he grew up across the street named after him. The stadium at Cutstown named. I want to see all that stuff kind of continue the celebration with him.
That's great. Byron, you talked about, you know, John and you know, getting the three Super Bowls that he lost before. Just kind of curious, when you guys made that first Super Bowl when you were there, did you guys carry a little extra weight knowing we can't let John go 0-4?
You know, every guy in that locker room, whether they were a starter or whether they were on the practice squad, knew how important it was for John and his legacy. And just, you know, the thing about it is if you come to Colorado, if you come to Denver, you know how much John means to the community out there. Not just Denver, but the whole Rocky Mountain region. You know, he is one guy when you think about, you know, a city or a state or a region, the Rocky Mountain region, you think of John Elway first.
Right.
There's not many people, you know, you see Michael Jordan in Chicago like that, but not many people can dominate, you know, their place and their space. And he meant so much to our franchise and so much to the community out there. I mean, guys, we were going to do whatever it took to get him a Super Bowl, and I'm glad that we got him too.
Yeah. When you win the AFC Championship and you lead into the Super Bowl, you got that two-week period. Is that agonizing, that 2 weeks?
No, it's the best.
Is it?
It's the best.
It is the absolute best.
You got time to heal. You got time to get a little healthy. But the other thing is you got time to prepare. And what we would do, the way we would do it, is that first week would be all business. As far as on the field, we put in our game plan. We'd put in and we'd get all our work done. But it gave you time also to do all the off-field stuff, the tickets.
Yeah.
So who's going to, you know, setting up airplane trips and hotels for family and things like that. So I love that two week, and you needed that to handle your business. It left it chaotic. And then, you know, once you got to the Super Bowl city that week, you had all your business taken care of. You were ready to go. So I enjoyed it. His safety's going to come over here and hold me. He's always out of position. Nick Ferguson, always out of position, always holding. He's touching me now.
Even though he's not touching me,
that's like a 15-yard penalty right now. Just you sitting down next to me is a 15-yard penalty.
There's encroachment going on.
Byron, one more before we let you go. Super Bowl morning.
Okay.
Waking up, first time, for the first one. Wake up in the morning. Now you got all the way till 6:30 to wait for the kickoff. What's the day like?
See, that's, you know, that's the most agonizing time. Because, you know, usually what you do is you wake up and you go down, you have a team meal.
Yeah.
And then you're loading up on the bus ready to go. So that day is different because you got all these hours that you got to fill with, you know, fill
something.
Fill the time with something, you know, whether it's watching film, which I felt like I was prepared. I had watched enough film that 2 weeks. I didn't need, you know, I always felt like this. I always said this in college, you know, I'm not going to learn anything right before the test that's going to help me. So
right.
If I ain't got it by now, I'm not going to get it. So,
right.
So, but just filling that time all day with something, just you know, you got friends calling, you got family calling.
Right.
Are you ready? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you, yeah, I wasn't nervous until you called me.
You called me.
You know? So yeah, that's the most antagonizing time. But once you arrive at the stadium, you know, the thing is, you got to do is you got to make it into a normal football game, because that's what it is. It's a football game with a big prize at the end.
Yeah.
So the team who makes it into a football game and ignores all the hype and hoopla of the Super Bowl usually wins the game.
That's great.
Well, us fans can't stand that 2 weeks.
That's right.
We can't stand it.
Yeah, because the media, you know, we in the media, we got to make up something to fill that 2 weeks with.
Right,
and that's,
right.
That's ridiculous. Byron, before we let you go, remind everybody listening in on the Armed Forces Radio Network, iHeartRadio, and the other stations that we are on across the Internet, remind them how they can follow you online and get your
You can follow me online on Twitter and Instagram at BC_Chamberlain, BC_CHAMBERLAIN, BC_Chamberlain. Follow me. Ask me questions. I interact with fans, and I interact with people who are interested in what we're doing with our foundation and with our pro day experience. Let me say this one more time.
Absolutely.
Let me say one more thing, because I know you know, Armed Forces Network, there's a ton of people who serve our country listening. My brother being a Marine, my dad being in the Navy, my grandfather being in the Army. I come from a military family, so I appreciate what you guys do for our country. I appreciate the sacrifices you make when you're over serving our country, being away from your own family. Thank you for everything you do.
That's great. Byron, thank you for sharing that message. And thank you for taking a few minutes out of your night to be a part of the show. You're fantastic. I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
I definitely
sometime.
Will,
We'd love,
man.
Love
let's,
to have
let's,
you.
Let's do it.
All right, Byron, enjoy the rest of your night. All the best to you and your family.
All right, thank you, guys.
Byron Chamberlain, we are going to get on to our next guest, Nick Ferguson. We're going to hear from Nick just on the other side of this message from our friends over at Kyven Foods.
Add great flavor to your next tailgate party with Kyven Salsas. Former NFL tight end Reggie Kelly created these salsas for dipping chips and much more. In hot and mild flavors, Kyven Salsas make a great marinade. They are terrific in meatloaf and are super toppers for everything from baked potatoes to scrambled eggs. It's a great ingredient to enjoy in a variety of family favorite meals. And some people say Kyven Salsa is a meal to itself. With all the possibilities, Kyven is truly salsa with soul. Kyven Salsas are also made from natural ingredients, and they are preservative free. So look for Kyven, that's K-Y-V-A-N, at area Walmart stores or online. Click on the Kyven logo on our website to check retail and online locations. More information at Kyven82.com.
All right, now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is Nick Ferguson. Let me give you some background on Nick. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Cincinnati Bengals in 2000 out of Georgia Tech. Nick played in the NFL from 2000 to 2009 with the Broncos, Jets, and Texans. Also spent some time up in Canada in the CFL with the Saskatchewan Roughriders and Winnipeg Jets. Did a stint over in NFL Europe with the Rhein Fire and in the United Football League with the Omaha Nighthawks. And we're glad to have him tonight with us on a special edition of Thursday Night Tailgate. Nick, how you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful. I know Byron, I'm following Byron, and we have a long-standing tradition of going after one another, but he actually called a holding a phantom holding penalty on me, and I was just joking about it while you guys were on break, that seems to happen in today's NFL, phantom calls. because the defensive guys don't get any calls in today's
NFL.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we've talked about, Nick, on this show, Angie and I, and our other co-host Bob Lazzari, is, you know, defensive back in the NFL right now, that's got to be the hardest position in sports to play.
It is very hard, and I think, you know, it's becoming harder because you look at what the guys are doing in Seattle, and because they're really physical at the line of scrimmage, all type of offenses are trying to cater what they do personnel-wise and route running based upon, you know, what they're seeing on the opposite side of the ball from the defensive standpoint. And you're right, it's hard to play in today's NFL because there's so much gray area as far as what you can do, as far as what you can't do, because when I play, when a guy was coming across the middle, you set the tone. You set the tempo of the game, and you went and you laid into a guy. Now you can't do that now in today's NFL without a hefty fine.
So, yeah, and to that point, right, you know, you talk about coming across the middle, right? If a, you know, if a wide receiver is going to catch a ball, or a tight end like Byron Chambers is going to catch a ball, and he's up in the air, right, the natural reaction when you catch the ball and you're coming down is you're sort of bringing that head down. You as a defensive back that is trying to take that middle away, you're coming in to make the hit. He's coming down towards you. Now the head comes down. You end up making contact. And even anymore, I mean, and, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, right? I'm from Pittsburgh. My boy Ryan Clark used to hit guys. You know, even if you take the shoulder and you're hitting them in the chest, that head snaps back, flag comes out.
But, you know, I think, you know, the competition committee is meeting right now. And one thing I think they should do is it's going to slow the game down, but if you want to protect the players and you want to get the calls right, I think you should do this. Go to instant replay on the judgment call.
Yeah,
if you're not sure if it's a shoulder or a helmet, go to instant replay to make sure you're making the right call. I remember a game I was playing with John Lynch. We were playing in Arrowhead. And Eddie Kinnison caught a pass in the red zone. And he saw John bearing down on him, so the natural reaction, protect your body. He ducked and shrunk his body. So
right.
John was aiming for his upper torso, but ended up making contact with his helmet, penalty, and that advanced the ball for Kansas City. So
right.
To me, I don't like those type of calls.
Yeah, no, we say that all the time.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say about that is it will slow the game up a lot. But I think one thing that would help that is if instead of these refs going over to, you know how you always see them going off to the sideline, they're looking at this little screen like this, they have to watch it six times. Just play it up there. Just look at
on the
big screen. We watch
we
it all.
Yeah,
there
we all can watch
yes,
it.
There it is. Why can't they do that? Why are we all going down to this little screen? We got a $100 million screen, and we're going to this little 4-incher.
But see, there's a reason why they won't do that, because now everyone in the stadium will be watching, and if they make a mistake, everyone knows the mistake that they made.
Well, we see it anyway, right?
Yeah,
see 100
exactly.
million people watching it on TV. That's not right.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it.
Nick, I want to take you back for a minute. We had the pleasure of having you join us for a little bit on the show last week with David Meltzer. And, you know, one of the things you talked about was how proud you were to walk across the stage to get your diploma as a college graduate. Talk about why that was so important to you.
Why it was so important, because I was the first kid in my family to graduate. And that says a lot. I mean, it's 10 of us. And to be the first person to do that, knowing as though my parents, they only have a high school diploma. So that was a huge accomplishment for me. And one thing about college is it shows that you can set goals and then you have the ability to go out there and attain them. And for me, going from Morris Brown College, walking on to Georgia Tech, Georgia O'Leary seeing me play and deciding to give me a scholarship my senior year, I mean, that was a catalyst for everything that has happened in my 10-year career, because I was telling someone earlier today that, you know, it's not just only athletics that gets you in the NFL. They're looking for smart guys, guys who can do it on and off the field. And because I went to Georgia Tech, that helped. Teams say, well, he's a smart guy. He went to a kind of overachieving school education from an education standpoint. And that proved to them that I had the ability to take a playbook, dissect it, break it down, and then go out there and execute it. So for those who are listening that only think that all you need is athletics and you need a fast 40, you need more than that, because you're going to need that education while you're playing, and you're going to need that education just in case your career is caught shut by injury. You have something to fall back on.
you mentioned playing for Coach George O'Leary.
Yes.
He's now down at Central Florida. I spent some time at Central Florida and just down there in Orlando. What was it like playing for Coach O'Leary?
It was great. You know, I've had some great coaches in my career, and I liken Coach O'Leary to another coach you guys might have heard of, Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
And from the same type of school, hard-nosed coaches, when you're playing for them, you don't really like playing for them. But it's like you look at him as a father figure, and then after your playing days are over, you understand the lessons that he was trying to teach you. So, you know, George and I still stay in contact. I ran into him in the airport when I first got engaged to my wife, and the first thing he said to me was, when are you going back to school to get your education? When are you going back to finish that degree? At that point, I was 6 years in the league. I didn't feel as though I needed to go back, but having both George and my mom telling me, okay, when are you going to finish our degree? And I'm like, what do you mean our degree? So she was just like, you know, I paved the way for you and made some sacrifices, so that's my degree. So with those two, you know, harping on me, and it's a little something I wanted to do myself, but I went back and finished that degree, and that's so important.
Absolutely, right it is. You played with a guy who's become a great friend of the show, and that's former Georgia Tech running back Joe Burns. What was it like going up against Joe in practice?
How can you say physicality? You know, when you face a guy like Joe Burns, it's always going to be a contest, you know, a show of wills. It's just you guys seen those National Geographic shows where you see these two masculine rams just kind of vying for the territory, ramming into one another. So it was that type of thing. And to me, that helped both Joe and myself and hone our craft as we moved on into the NFL, because you're going to face some adversity. And when you face adversity on the field in life, you have to know how to meet it head on and how to accomplish and get over that hurdle.
So, you know, everybody thinks that NFL players, you know, once they hit the league, they're all famous, they're rich, it's all success. But, you know, you played on Bengals, Bears, and Bills practice squads. And
doesn't that sound like the Wizard of Oz in a way?
Exactly, yeah. So explain to listeners what life is like as a practice squad player. It's not all, you know, everybody puts on the cleats and you're all of a sudden, you know, a famous NFL player with all the riches.
No, you know, football and NFL, I mean, it's pretty much a blue-collar sport if you look at the NBA and you look at Major League Baseball. But that was a way to kind of get myself in and show the coaches that I belong there, earn the respect of my other teammates. But it was tough. Your responsibility was to prepare the guys who were playing for the opponent coming up. So your job was just as important as the guys on starting day. So when a team won that game, you would look at yourself and say, you know, I didn't go out there and I didn't play, but I'll prepare them during the week so they can go out there and win the ball game. So it was a nice stepping stone for me to help me arrive and really appreciate something that so many players want, but so many players fail to get, and that's an opportunity to play in the NFL.
Yeah, so once you did get the chance in the league, did all that patience, hard work, and sacrifice you put in to make, you know, to get that chance and your opportunity, was it that much sweeter, you know, knowing that you had to go through those struggles and you didn't get, you know, the first round draft pick and get your walk right in?
Yeah, you know what, you know, some players, they get drafted and they can just kind of walk into the NFL, but to me, doing it the hard way was really tough. But I respect that grind. You know, the grind makes you who you are as a person. But we go back to being able to overcome the adversity and those early humble beginnings. You talk about George O'Leary. You talk about Bill Parcells. You talk Wade Phillips and Mike Shanahan. Those guys gave me what I needed as a player and as a man to be the guy who is sitting in front of you right now.
Yeah. So you spent three seasons with the Jets. Tell us what it's like being under the microscope and having to deal with the media while playing in the Big Apple.
You know what? New York is an A market, so you see the media and you have to deal with them all the time. Up until that point, I only had limited experience with the media, but being in New York, it definitely prepared me for what I do now, being an analyst and hosting my own show. But the media in New York, they're a little different. You know, everyone's looking for the big story, and they're not looking for the positive thing. It's like, well, can we pick apart what happened in game time and find that one story, or they write a story. All they need is a soundbite from you to kind of back up and reinforce their story. So I don't want to bash the media because the media is great, but you have those certain individuals who, you know, they're trying to meet a deadline and they need that story. But the market in New York is it was great, and I loved it. It actually prepared me and sharpened me. Yeah.
Nick, the quarterback you played with at Georgia Tech, Joe Hamilton, was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2014. Because of his size, he was 5'10", about 190 pounds. No one ever really gave him a chance to show what he could do in the NFL. You know, talk about Joe, and did we miss out on a guy who was really special just because we didn't think a guy his size could play?
Yeah, you know, I think Joe came before his time. I think Ralph Friesen did a great job of kind of building an offense around him, using his skill set, getting him out of the pocket. Some of the same things you see Seattle doing with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, if Joe had been a senior around this time, then he would have had an opportunity to play in the NFL based upon the success that Russell is having right now.
Right.
But if Joe was a quarterback that was even 6'1", he would have definitely got a chance. But because he didn't meet the measurement
right.
as far as the NFL is concerned, that he didn't make it. And to me, that's what I would like to see change in the NFL. You know, a lot of teams have this, you know, kind of a standard of height, weight, speed guy. You know, if you meet those specifications, now you're first-round draft choice. But I can tell you, honestly, I've seen guys who are height, weight, speed guys and couldn't make it in the NFL.
Right.
So to me, I'm glad to see Russell's having success so other guys like Joe Hamilton now will have an opportunity to play in the NFL.
Yeah, one of the things that bothers Ange and I is, you know, we look back at a guy like Doug Flutie. And, you know, Flutie was a winner, but it's like no one wanted to buy it that he could do it long-term just because he was 5'9".
Right.
Right? They didn't buy it. Well, he didn't win big. He got wins. They were still a W, and I feel the same way about Joe is, you know, to your point. That all they ever looked at was, I don't find it because he's not tall enough. He's right. never going to be able to, you know, compete in this league. They did the same thing to Flutie. It just doesn't seem fair that, you know, let's see what the guy can do on the field. Kind of going back to his Tech days,
yeah.
you watch the film. He got it done on film. Why doesn't that stand alone for itself?
But once again, it goes back to teams having the idea of the height, weight, speed. This is the ideal quarterback size, and
yeah.
the guy has to have a big arm. I had an opportunity, real brief here, to play with both Rob Johnson and Doug Flutie
yeah.
with the Buffalo Bills. And we loved Doug. You know, when he came in the game, there was going to be a level of excitement.
Yeah.
The defense played better. The offense played better. But you know, once again, the organization just had an idea of Rob is our standard quarterback. He's a USC guy. I mean, his father was a coach. And maybe he was going to be the guy to take us where we needed to. But when we found trouble, when we couldn't make it in games, the first person that came and come off the bench was Doug Flutie, the elevator. So to me, I think each player should be judged on his own personal merit and what he can do on the field
right.
and not by his size, weight, and speed.
Right, because on the opposite side, right, Ange? Rob Johnson, when you had him with your Bills, right, they looked at him and said, oh, he's whatever, 6'2", 6'3", he's got to be the guy.
Right.
He was never getting it done. Flutie was getting it done, but Flutie was on the bench, and Johnson kept trying to find an excuse
right.
to get Johnson in the game
yeah.
and keep Flutie out of the game.
Right.
Drives us nuts when stuff like right. that happens,
and,
right?
And you know who proved everybody wrong about the whole size thing was Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So.
Six-foot quarterback, and he watched Drew Brees throw from the pocket. He's yeah. on his tiptoes. Every single time. And the one thing that kills me is so many people talk about to play in the NFL as a quarterback, you need a rocket cannon arm. No, you don't. All you need to do is anticipate, have accuracy and precision, and know how to lead.
Wow, that's good news for my Bills this year,
right?
Yeah.
We don't need a rocket arm.
No.
Right.
We don't need a rocket arm. You need a great defense.
I just got more excited.
Nick, a couple more just before we let you go. Your rookie year with the Jets, week 13, you get your first career interception. It comes off Peyton Manning. So I got to know, that highlight looping in the den somewhere so when the fellas come over, they get to see that?
Well, you know what? I have the ball, and I have the scar on my hip to prove it because when I intercept that ball, I think it was about maybe 40 degrees and outside the numbers were frozen. After I caught the interception, I was running. One of their offensive linemen shoved me out of bounds, and I slid for like 5 yards on my right hip.
Oh.
So I still have the scar.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it was sensational for me to have that. And when I was in the NFL, Peyton and I would actually joke about that because I would tell him,
you were my first interception in the pros. So that gave us a little something to laugh about, but it was great.
You played on the other side of the line of scrimmage from a recent Hall of Famer, Curtis Martin. What was it like going up against Curtis?
It was great. Curtis was one of those guys who was seen as an overachiever, had one heck of a career, but I used to be mistaken for Curtis after games. People used to call me Curtis Martin.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we have some of the same similar features, but great, great guy, great teammate, and an even better man. Yeah.
Nick, tell our listeners how they can follow you both online and over social media.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at NickFerguson_25, and also you can listen to me every Thursday on Voice America Sports, 10 a.m. Pacific time. I'm always willing to open. If you want to talk NBA basketball, you want to talk about March Madness, inside the NFL, I'm your guy. Follow me on Twitter.
That's awesome. Nick, thank you so much for taking time out of your night again. You're fantastic. We hope you'll keep coming back and joining us, my friend.
You keep calling. I'll keep coming back.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your night. All the best to you and your family.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Nick Ferguson, I'm telling you what, it doesn't get much better than that right there, Edge.
Oh, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was.
And speaking of awesome, we don't have much time with him, but the man is stepping in here. Tony G about to join us.
All right. On the other side of this message from our friends over at Kyven Foods, we're going to have Tony Gonzalez.
Add great flavor to your next tailgate party with Kyven Salsas. Former NFL tight end Reggie Kelly created these salsas for dipping chips and much more. In hot and mild flavors, Kyven Salsas make a great marinade. They are terrific in meatloaf and are super toppers for everything from baked potatoes to scrambled eggs.
How are you?
It's a great ingredient to enjoy in a variety of family favorite meals. And some people say Kyven Salsa is a meal to itself. With all the possibilities, Kyven is truly salsa with soul. Kyven Salsas are also made from natural ingredients, and they are preservative-free. So look for Kyven. That's K-Y-V-A-N at area Walmart stores or online. Click on the Kyven logo on our website to check retail and online locations. More information at Kyven82.com.
Hi, we're back on Thursday Night Tailgate. Now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is former Pro Bowl tight end and future Hall of Famer, Tony Gonzalez. Tony, thank you for stopping by tonight, my friend.
Thank you, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic.
Great.
How are you?
I got a beer in my hand, and we're here for a good cause, so I'm having a good time.
So, Tony, what's got you out tonight at the Unstoppable Foundation?
I'm out here. I think I'm presenting Warren his award, Warren Moon. So he's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. He had a huge impact on my career, so I'm happy to be here for him.
Tony, my man here, Angelo Kane, I think he had you on his fantasy football team all 17 years you were in the league. So, you know, thank you for what you did for him, because he's a tough out in fantasy football. But, you know, talk about, you know, you had 26 NFL records. Amazing for what you were able to do in your longevity.
Yeah,
talk about playing in the league and how you're able to do it for so long without getting hurt.
I think you get a lot of luck is involved with that, because I did get hurt actually one of the years. I got hurt the last game of the season and was out 2.5 months. So if that would have happened at the beginning of the season, I would have missed. I probably would have been on IR. So I got lucky. I was able to play with some really good quarterbacks, some good offensive lines, and I took care of myself, especially towards the end of my career. I made nutrition, going to bed, not partying so much, and just really looking after my body a priority, and that's why I think I was able to squeeze out, you know, 3 or 4 extra really good years.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, one of the remarkable stats, when you look over your stat sheet, 14 years of your career, you had 1,157 receptions over that 14-year period, fumbled one time. Talk about handling the ball like that.
Well, I was scared. My third year or fourth year, whenever the last time I fumbled, you just feel so bad after you do something like that. And I never, ever wanted to let my teammates down. Because obviously that can turn the tide of a game, and so every time I got that ball, I would put my foot on the ball, both hands on the ball, whatever it was, to make sure that I came down with it, and no matter what, the other team wasn't coming away with it.
So you were still playing at a real high level when you decided to retire. What brought you to that decision? How did you know it was time?
Well, I wanted to retire the year before. In all honesty, the year we went to the NFC Championship, we lost against the San Francisco 49ers that year. I thought we were going to go to the Super Bowl. I thought we had that good of a team. Unfortunately, we fell short. So after that season, Matt Ryan, the quarterback, came out and talked to me. Coach Smitty came out and talked to me, and they talked me back into coming back. And we only went out there and won two games.
Yeah.
So all season long, I was like, man, I should have left. I should have left last year. I enjoyed it for what it was worth. I still had some good relationships, but I was absolutely ready to walk away from the game. I got everything I ever wanted out of it, no regrets. I feel good about it.
Did it take time for you to get used to not doing all the prep and the routine of playing the game and practice?
Not at all.
You were done that
not
day.
I was ready to go. I'm trying to tell you, I was at that point. Boy, 17 years is a long, long time.
Yeah,
I
have
a career 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was no stone unturned for me. I got everything I ever wanted out of the football, even the Super Bowl. It's not for everybody. Warren's another one of those guys.
Right.
You can be one of the greatest players ever and still not get a shot at it, and it doesn't take away anything from your career. And I felt content about that. I have no regrets, like I said.
Yeah. So how's the transition been to being an analyst now and looking at the game from a whole different angle?
I like it now. You know, at first, I thought I was going to have a little bit of trouble sitting there calling out people that I used to play with. But if you do it the right way, and it's always coming from a good place, it's fun. This is football. I've been doing this ever since I was 12 years old, and I get a chance to stick around the game, talk shop with some great guys on that desk, JV being the leader of us, Boomer, Coach Cowher, Bart Scott. We have a blast on that set. And I've loved it. I mean, I hope I can have that job for, you know, until I want to die on that desk.
Very
like Terry Bradshaw, I want to die on that desk.
And speaking of analyzing, give us your thoughts on your two former franchises, the Chiefs and the Falcons, where they're at and where they need to go from here.
the Chiefs, I really like what they've been doing over the last couple of years. Andy Reid's come in there. He's done an outstanding job of bringing that team back to the forefront of the NFL. They're always, seems like they're putting out good teams over the last couple of years. The Falcons, obviously they got a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan. He's one of the best young guys. Well, not even a young guy anymore. He's arrived. There's no denying that. But they do need to go out there and keep building that defense. They got one of the best receivers in the league in Julio Jones. Roddy White is getting old, but he's still productive. They need to go out there and start building that defense. Dan Quinn now, that's the new head coach. I think he's going to do that. That's what he brings to the table. And the sky's the limit, because in this league, I know for sure you're not going anywhere if you don't have a quarterback, and they have Matt Ryan, so anything can happen with that team.
What do you feel about Dan Quinn? Now Dan Quinn leaves, you know, having done some great things, obviously, with that Seattle defense. Now he takes over in Atlanta. What are your expectations for him, and what do you think he can do right out of the box?
Well, I think, you know what, the one thing that I love about Pete Carroll is the mentality that he brings to that team. I mean, he takes players that you would not think are going to be superstars, and he creates superstars out of them because it's all a mentality. Look at the Warren Moon man over there. But I think that's what Dan Quinn's going to do. I think he's going to bring an attitude to that team where everybody is constantly trying to get better and better, and that's what it takes, because the difference between a good athlete and a great athlete is not that much in the NFL. They're all good athletes, great athletes, all Americans from college, standout football players. It's the mentality that makes a guy great. And if you can tap into that, you'll get the best out of guys, and I think that's what Dan's going to do out there.
So you mentioned great athletes, right? And you played several sports in high school. You lettered in football, baseball, basketball. So you're well-rounded. We were talking earlier on the show, and we've done it, you know, several times over the few years we've been on the air, talking to guys about parents today seem to, you know, drive their kids in one sport all year round, whether it's travel, baseball, or whatever it is. But how important was it for you, and how much did it make you a better athlete to have played several sports?
Absolutely. I have kids, and I have a 14-year-old son who's starting to play sport. A lot of sports, get really into it. I'm playing football, basketball, and they both play off each other. If I didn't play basketball, I don't think I would have been as good of a football player as I was. First of all, you can do it anytime you want. You can do it by yourself. With football, you can't do that. Your right hand, left hand, jumping, stopping, coordinating. You're constantly catching the football. You're working on that small football on basketball court, that small space to get open. When you get on the football field, all of a sudden, you're getting wide open. And the position I played in football, being a power forward, at the D1 level, I'm going against guys that are 6'10", 6'11".
Right.
And I had to use my leverage to get open. And now I get to go against guys that are shorter than me, knowing how to use my body. That's why I think Antonio Gates, you see Jimmy Graham, those guys have such an advantage when they get on that football field, because they're used to playing against guys that are bigger and taller than them. And now they go against little guys, you can't guard them. It's unguardable.
Right. And if you weren't a basketball player, you wouldn't have been able to do all those great touchdown dunks over the goalposts, which, by the way, are not allowed anymore.
Yeah.
Are we going too far with that?
I think it's a little far. The Jimmy Graham rule.
Yeah.
Every time I see Jimmy, I'm like, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You ruined it for everybody, right. Including yourself. Because I was actually at the game the last year, because they took that rule out last year, but the first year it was out.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown on us. And he sees me on the side, and I know he does. And he goes over there, and he dunks that ball over the goalpost, and he hangs on it, and it bends down and all that stuff. They have to stop the game for 10 minutes to go correct it. And after the game, I went up to him. I said, Jimmy, you know you just ruined it. Next year,
that's it.
It's over.
Right,
it's over now.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. But the Lambeau leap is still allowed until, of course, somebody gets hit by a player's helmet.
Right.
You got to stop the game and all that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We've had Falcons COO on the show before, and they got that new stadium, which looks absolutely incredible. How much pressure is that new stadium and everything that surrounds it, the money they've spent, how much more pressure are they going to be under to put a winning team on that field?
That's a lot of pressure. It's something Matt Ryan and we have talked about, but I think they're up to the challenge. And that's why you see Arthur Blank, the owner, Mr. Blank, he's making moves. He wants to be a Super Bowl contender every year, and he wants to be a Super Bowl champion. And that's why he does hard knocks. That's why he goes out there and he'll spend money to go get good football players. Him and Thomas Dimitroff are building a team out there, and the future looks bright for them. I really do believe that eventually it will come to the Lombardi Trophy will come to Atlanta.
Well, Tony, I know you got to get going because you're co-hosting this event tonight, but tell our listeners how they can follow you both online and over social media and the great things you're doing.
Well, I mean, you can check out one of the things I do is FitStar. If you're looking to get in shape and exercise, go check out FitStar.com. It's an app for us. And then also Twitter, TonyGonzalez88, if you want to follow me. I have the Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff that people do nowadays, that branding that you got to do to go out there and let the people stay in touch with you.
So, fantastic. Tony, thanks for taking
a
couple of minutes out of your night to be a part of the show.
Thank you very
much. It's
great
catching up with you.
Thanks,
have
guys.
A great rest
have
of your night.
Night.
Tony Gonzalez,
friend.
How about that? 17 years on your
there
fantasy
you
football
go.
Team.
All
and
the grief I got for taking him first all the time. First pick, tight end. Of course I did. He's Tony G, for crying out loud.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I tell you what, you want to talk about, you know, some things, you know, we joke, you know, off the air and that sort of thing about how, you know, after the last event that we did with Warren and Sports One Marketing at the Hall of Fame reception, you know, what were the chances that one day that Warren Moon was going to be thanking you for doing something, and now you're sitting across the table from Tony G.
Right.
How about that, my friend?
My bucket list is almost done.
That's great stuff. All right. We've got a word coming up here from our friends from the Louisville Slugger Museum, and our friends over at Coastal Orthopedics will be back on the other side of that.
See the official bat of Major League Baseball, made right before your eyes, at the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory, located in downtown Louisville. Every guest gets a free Louisville Slugger souvenir mini bat at the end of the tour. See the world's biggest baseball bat, and hold game-used bats from Mickey Mantle, Cal Ripken Jr., and more. Lots of interactive exhibits, and check out the museum store where you can buy a personalized Louisville Slugger with your signature on it. Visit SluggerMuseum.com for more information. If you suffer from joint pain, you need to contact our friend, Dr. Peter Candelora and the folks at Coastal Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Located in Newport Richey, Florida, just north of Tampa, Dr. Candelora has practiced orthopedic surgery since 1989 and is board certified, a member of the Florida Orthopedic Association and American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. His experienced staff of medical professionals are ready to help get you back to enjoying life. Coastal Orthopedics has all the latest technology to get your joints feeling good again. Their state-of-the-art facility and attention to detail will ensure you will be enjoying life again and feeling invincible. So let's get active. For more information or to schedule an appointment, go to bone-dr.com or call them 727-848-1417. That's 727-848-1417 or online at bone-dr.com. They're also proud sponsors of Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund.
We are back on a very special edition of Thursday Night Tailgate, coming to you live from the Unstoppable Gala at the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza in L.A. We've got our next guest queued up here in just a few moments. Robert Griffith is set to join us. In the meantime, we haven't had any time to banter the whole night, really.
I know.
So
just
before we get to...
And guess what? We're not bantering now either.
We got a few minutes before we got Robert Griffith with us. So, Ange, I want to talk very briefly. Let's talk about what the heck your Bills are doing. We teased about it in the beginning of the show. You brought in Richie Incognito. Let's call him Firewood. Then you signed Percy Harvin. Let's call him the match. What's the over-under on the first fight that's going to take out in your Bills locker room?
It's going to be – everything's going to be fine. You got Richie in there to control the out-of-control Percy Harvin. Everything's going to be fine.
You think?
Yes.
Brother, I think you got a combustible atmosphere coming up there in Buffalo. You throw in Rex Ryan in the circus that he always brings. I think it's only a matter of time before that whole thing implodes.
You're so negative.
Oh my Twitter.
I can see the fear in you with
is
all
that
the
what
moves.
It is? Is that
yeah,
what you think
with
you
all
did?
The moves that we've made this off season, and you guys are standing there doing nothing. it's just the fear. I know you got the fear in you.
All right, maybe we'll get back to a little bit more conversation with that in a minute. But now joining us on the Kyven Foods guest line is Robert Griffith. Let me remind you about Robert's career. Robert played in the NFL from 1994 until 2006 at safety for the Minnesota Vikings, the Cleveland Browns, and the Arizona Cardinals. He joined us a couple weeks ago with David Meltzer on our 12th man segment, so we are honored to have him back. Now sitting live in front of us, Robert, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm doing great. What a great event.
Yeah, talk about the event. What brought you out to the Unstoppable Gala tonight?
Well, you know, obviously it's David. It's Warren. These are my people. You know, Warren, when I got into the NFL as a rookie in 94, 95, I played with him in Minnesota, and he took me under his wing. He was just like a big brother to me. You know, I remember he had a show on Fox, and coming from San Diego, I didn't have a heavy jacket. And if you went on the show, you got like this Parker, this Letterman,
is that right?
Fox Letterman jacket. So he gave me a show. I think I might have been on the third week just to get that jacket before it got cold. So that's a little story about me and Warren.
Talk about the time you spent, you know, playing with Warren. Now, you're on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. What's it like trying to go against, you know, a Warren Moon offense and trying to cover guys, trying to make a name for yourself while you got him in practice?
You know, I actually got a lot of the looks because I was on the practice squad. I wasn't practice squad, but I was always given the look team for our starting offense, which was Warren Moon, Chris Carter, Jake Reed, you know, that powerful offense. And so I got a chance to see Warren throw the ball every day against, you know, I had to play against him every day. And nobody threw a better ball. Nobody threw a more beautiful ball. And he was, you know, very, very intelligent, can make all the throws. And covering guys like Chris and Jake and, you know, I think that made me the player that I was able to be in my career and stay healthy, too.
Yeah, so to that point, Robert,
Did
it make you a better player?
100%.
Having, you know, when you're trying to cover Chris Carter and Jake Reed and going against Warren Moon, was it easier on Sundays than
definitely.
During the week?
I went into practice knowing that I was going to work my stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I played nickel my first 3 years as well, or 6 years, actually.
Yeah.
I came in on third down with, you know, my first 2 years I played nickel, and so I had to cover guys in the slot. And it gave me a little more advantage to go against Chris Carter every day and then be able to go out there against other players. It was a little, you know, I won't say it was easier, but, you know, I got great work in practice to, you know, get me ready.
Was Chris like a coach on the field, like, you know, trying to teach you, like, hey, here's what wide receivers are going to do.
Exactly.
Here's how you can read a defense or read an offense better by, you know, watch for this, look for that. That's what we're doing here.
Yes, and then, you know, route recognition, but just the savviness of, where your hand placement's going to be, where he's going to push off at, and, you know, pivot routes, things like that that you really, the little nuances I got, and I would cover up guys pretty good in the game because of it.
As a defensive back, what are some of the key things you're keen on? When you're watching a wide receiver trying to figure out, you know, is he going to come across the middle? Is he going deep? What things are you keying on him physically to try to get an idea of where this route's going?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways depending on where you are on the field. But as a safety, if you're looking at guys coming at you, you know, it all starts with the quarterback. He has the ball, right? So you know, given the if it's a three-step drop or a five-step drop or even a seven-step, you know, I got vision on the quarterback. I can see if it's a three-step. I know it's going to be a short route or a pump route. And so,
you got an eye in the backfield.
Yeah, then you go right back to the route tree and how you used to seeing it.
Right.
So now you know it's an intermediate route or a longer route. So it starts there first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You spent a few years in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Look now at the Browns. When you look at what's happened with Cleveland and the Browns, and, you know, they've had some players, they've lost players. You know, Josh Gordon's now out of the league at least for a year. You know, the issue with Johnny Manziel and what he's dealing with. You know, so they've lost, you know, some talent. The guys that they've brought in probably aren't at the level that, you know, the guys that they lost. Organizationally, I'm a Steeler fan. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm always down on Cleveland. Anyhow, but when you look at, you know, as an organization, you know, they just don't seem to be able to kind of get it together. When you were there, what was it like playing in Cleveland? And did you feel that the organization was just sort of messed up?
Yeah, well, you know, with all due respect to the learners, you know, when Al died in 2002, his son took over the team, and, you know, he just wasn't a football guy, you know, so it's hard to be a football guy when you never have been, and, you know, the learners are great people, great foundations, very, very philanthropic, but I think that they didn't have real football people in the building.
Yeah.
You know, I was there where Butch Davis was there.
That's right.
You know, Butch was a me guy. You know, he's more of a college guy. He wasn't suitable for the being a head guy.
Did you tell he wasn't suited for the NFL?
Oh, right away. You know, put curfews on guys on away games, you know, trying to keep guys in a hotel. You can't let guys play like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was really a college atmosphere when he was there. And you can't win pro games like that. So not here to bash Butch, but, you know, everybody that tells you that was there during this time will say that.
So did you guys ever kind of get together and say anything to the organization like, look, this isn't going to work?
I voiced my opinions with Butch several times. I was the team captain. I was the team leader. And so I had a lot of the players constantly during my 3 years there, ask for different things, and I always had to go up there and ask for them.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is sad.
Yeah. Agreed. So, Robert, longtime Viking Paul Kraus is the interception leader with 81. Charles Woodson, who's closing in on about 40 years old, is next in line, and he's at about 60. Even with the rule protecting quarterbacks, receivers, you know, the past decade or so, with the amount of pass attempts nowadays, are you surprised there aren't more players closing in on the interception record?
You know, quarterbacks are a little bit, you know, they're a little more efficient now as far as, you know, they, you know, all the analytics and things. I think quarterbacks now, not saying they got better, you know, I think I played in an era where there were the best quarterbacks in the 90s and the early 2000s.
You did.
And I'll name all those guys later. But I think the analytics show that a lot of quarterbacks now understand they can throw it away, understand where to put the ball. And there's so much accuracy so, you know, a guy like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, you know, Tom Brady, these guys are legendary accurate quarterbacks. I think that the younger guys, the Matt Staffords and even Nick Foles, when he came in against Philly, threw like four picks and 27 touchdowns or something.
Right.
So I think these guys know where to put the ball now. And if they miss, they miss where nobody can pick it off. It's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you got guys like Ed Reed. I think Ed Reed finished with 60-something. I thought he was going to get close, too.
Yeah.
You just kind of run out of time.
Yeah.
You know, and all you always, right there, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Rod Woodson, I think Rod Woodson had 6 or 7 one of his last years, which is incredible.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You never get them at the end of your career.
Right,
it never
kind
of happens. So
which teammates, coaches, or competitors made the greatest impression on you?
Wow. You know, Warren's one of my mentors. I would say Martin Bayless. I worked out with him.
Is that right?
Yeah, Martin Bayless is a good friend of mine. Just in his charitable endeavors as well. you know, I'm going to say this. You know, he passed away. My buddy Orlando Thomas.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, we were teammates right next to each other for 7 years. And
I never got to know anybody better than him in football. We're roommates. You know, he passed away of ALS last November.
Right.
He fought it for 7 years. But I played 7 years with him, and our communication was so spot on the field. And he was hurt a lot, you know, during our time. And But I could just look at him, and I knew what he was going to do, you know. But more importantly, he never had a bad day. One of his favorite sayings was, every day's a holiday. And so, you know, now that he's gone, it just kind of really rings to me every day, you know, when I think about it, just, you know, his zeal for life. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, he had a lot of little, everybody in the building had a little relationship with, you know, whether it was a college or they bet on a game or, you know, gambling. And he did gamble a lot. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I got stories about him, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, he used to pay me, get a look, $100 for every $1,000 that I could count after Saturday night before the game.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One night I counted $64,000.
Oh, wow, really?
In cash.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Yeah. Those
for
are the stories. Those are the stories I, you know, I those. That's like one of the stories I would never typically let get out. But you know, he's gone now, and
wow.
I know he's smiling. But yeah, they used to play Blu-ray, and
Wow.
Yeah. I was roommate. Yeah, so I made $6,400 that night.
Nice.
Yeah.
So at one point you were the Vikings Man of the Year.
Yes.
Got the award for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the players today underestimate the value of what, you know, working with charities and being involved in their communities?
You know, I think most there's typically a few guys on each team, if not more. I think guys do a good job of focusing towards their some of the things that touch them. You know, there's a lot of beautiful stories of guys that how they made it to the NFL. You know, mine's included, I guess. But I think the guys have passion towards different organizations. And I think they do a pretty good job with that. I don't think that those things get enough attention in a news media cycle.
Right.
You know, you never hear TMZ talking about that. But, you know, it's unfortunate. But I do think that guys get it. I think that they just need to get out there and do a little bit more and
put a little more priority into it, the
same kind of attention towards the other things.
Yeah.
They just added a little more time to it.
Yeah, and to build off that, Robert, one of the other honors you had is you won the Ed Block Courage Award. Right?
Yes.
For being a role model and inspiration and all the things that go along with that. When you look back over your career, where does that fit in, you know, some of the things you're proud of?
That's up there too. You know, you know, you really don't know what it is until you get there and you meet the kids and you find out, you know, how lucky you are to have the life you have.
Yeah.
And I thought it was not only an honor, I thought it was, you know, I felt like I was representing the whole state of Minnesota, you know, because we are the state team. And it was a real honor. And I still have the trophy right there on my desk at home.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a big helmet. Big Viking helmet, and but I would say it's one of the lasting memories. I actually took my mom with me there. It was in
yeah.
It was in East Coast, D.C. Nice. Baltimore area.
Robert,
tell our
listeners how they can follow you online and over social media, because you've got an important message.
Well, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is Griff Griff 24/7. So it's like my number, and everybody knows I'm a mile a minute, and I never sleep. So. I put the 7 on it because I'm open all the time, I guess, like 7-Eleven. So Griff, G-R-I-F-F, the number 2, the number 4, and then 7 spelled out, S-E-V-E-N. That's on Twitter, and that's on Instagram. So pretty easy.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Robert, for having me, guys.
Absolutely, Robert.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us again. We hope you'll continue to come back. You get some great insights. We love having you as part of the show.
Definitely. You guys are doing a good job of getting out the right message. Showing, you know, a little more different angles to who guys really are, and that's the key.
Mission
guys got on these
right?
helmets, man, and these helmets just really just stifle their opportunity to show who they really are. You know, like the NBA, you get the expressions of guys. You get an opportunity to really see who they are through their expressions and their attitudes, blah, blah, blah. And there's not that many guys, too. So I appreciate you guys. Definitely going to doing a great job.
All right. Thank all you, Robert. All right. Enjoy the rest of the night. Take care. Robert Griffin.
All right, folks.
We're actually winding down the last couple of minutes here on Thursday night. I'm going to talk about it. Yeah, 2 hours that just flew by in a blur, just like last time, right?
I know.
You know,
I think
we started to get rolling.
Faster. There were more guests, and they were just, you know, lining up. And if there was any question that we are at a giant, large, live gala, you've been hearing it the last half hour. This is, you know, it's TNT Alive 2.
Very good, exactly right. All right, so, and, you know, before we put a bow on this one, you know, I mean, it's such a great time, you know, not only being at the live event and the wonderful guests that, you know, we've had the privilege of having that, you know, our friends at Sports One Marketing have brought to us, and David Meltzer and Brad and, you know, Colleen and Iris and all the great folks here. You know, we're privileged to have, you know, and be in the presence of these guys. But I tell you what, first time, all three of us in one spot, huh?
It doesn't get any better, right?
It is awesome.
Renee, you've been awful quiet on the other end of the table there tonight, but what do you think?
She's too busy. You see her fingers have been going 100
miles
an hour.
A minute, just tweeting away and taking pictures of everybody.
It's fantastic. So, you know, what a great time. It's you know, that much better to be able to share it live with the two of you. So, what a great time we had tonight. Thank you for being a part of it and joining us here. And
thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
Being a part of it. All right, Ange, time for us to put a ball on this one, my friend. Like I say, so much fun sharing it with you and Renee. I want to let everyone know, so this is a special edition of Thursday Night Tailgate, obviously on Saturday night here in L.A. So next week, who we got joining us on the show? I want to remind everyone, right? We're going to be joined by some top people at the NFL Alumni Association. You know, we're official partners with those guys. So our good friend and the head of the board of directors over at the NFL Alumni, Randy Minear, former Giant fullback, he's going to join us. Plus, their president and CEO and former Giants quarterback Joe Pisarcik will be with us as well. So we got the two of those guys here from the NFL Alumni Association. And I am tickled pink because former Steelers linebacker Robin Cole is going to join us. So you know how excited I am for that. Plus, we're going to have former Broncos and Bears tight end, thanks to our good friend Renee Schull. Desmond Clark is going to be with us on the show. Plus, our friend and former Dolphins and Chargers running back Ronnie Brown is going to be back with us. And you know we're going to have our regular appearance on our 12th Man segment from David Meltzer as well. So we got that going for us. So it's going to be another great show. We hope you'll come back and join us as well. Our sincere thanks to David and Warren and all the great folks over at Sports One Marketing again one more time for thanking us for being able to be here on the show. We thank you for letting us be a part of this wonderful event tonight, the Unstoppable Gala. We've had an absolute blast. I want to remind everyone how you can follow us on Twitter. I am at CT Mascaro. My regular co-host, Bob Lazzari, you can find him at Bob_Lazzari. And you can follow him at Angelo Kane Art, and Kane is C-A-N-E, so at Angelo Kane Art. Our friend Renee Schull at Integrative Play, and the show is at TNT Podcast. Please also check out our page on Facebook. Give us a like there. That's very important to us, too. And you can stay up to date with who our future guests are going to be. You can stream or download any of our archived episodes of Thursday Night Tailgate by going to our site, ThursdayNightTailgate.com. I also want to say our sincere thanks to Joe Lajanusa for the great job he does with our weekly intros and ads, to Kyle Turley, Tim Pickett, all our friends over at Gridiron Records for their partnership in our upcoming outro music. On behalf of Angelo, Renee, and myself, we want to thank everyone for joining in and listening to the show tonight. We appreciate you the very most. And until next week, good night, Kevin. Keep fighting.
Coming down the mountain, I take a breath to say, can't tell the day or time, but I know this day will end.